In association with Newsarama.com, welcome back to Word Balloon. This is John Suntress. Summertime is here, and it's time again for another session of the Bendis Tapes. Marvel writer Brian Michael Bendis sits down with us after his slew of announcements that came out at the Wizard World Philadelphia convention. More are coming later in the convention season, but right now, plenty of grist for the mill to go over. You'll hear behind-the-scenes information on lots of Brian's projects, including Halo, the current Skrull invasion going on in the Avengers, Powers, Ultimate Spider-Man, next year's Icon Crime Project with Alex Maleev, and much more. This episode of Word Balloon is sponsored by InStock Trades at InStockTrades.com. InStock Trades offers a huge selection of trade paperbacks, hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more, all at up to 35% off, with orders over $50 receiving free shipping. And don't forget to visit InStock Trades' sister site, Discount Comic Book Service, at dcbservice.com for all your pre-order needs. Major publishers are 40% off, and monthly specials are 45 to 75% off every month. Visit InStock Trades at InStockTrades.com and Discount Comic Book Service at dcbservice.com. Welcome to summer, and welcome to the summer edition of the Bendis Tapes. This is John Suntress from WordBalloon.com, and with me as usual, Mr. Brian Michael Bendis, as I like to call him, Little Fancy Pants.
Wait, who is this?
Did I say your name right?
Oh, I thought I was ordering an iPhone. What number did I call?
Yeah, I'm waiting for...
It's a little jokey.
You know. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
How's the new gig?
Radio is kind to me in Chicago. They still remember John Suntress, which is very kind.
You like
cool.
How I just asked? Like I didn't ask you 2 minutes before. When
no,
we were
you know,
there.
That's nice.
Okay.
So
fake radio moment. Just open the show. That's so nice.
If this is your first time hearing the Bendis Tapes, very simply, Brian throws his forum open at jinxworld.com, the message board. And every 3 months or so, we get together and kind of review old stories and what's coming up. And certainly there's been a lot of announcements. So... people were able to ask questions at Brian's forum at jinxworld.com, and these are the questions, and we'll get the answers.
And as a little bonus, it's a little drinking game. Every time someone says Skrull, do a shot. You'll be drunk in 5 minutes.
Or as Mike Choice says, every time I say I'm hip, or that's awesome, man. You know, so let us begin. We start with Pablo Diaz.
And if we skip your post, yeah, it means it was really sucky, and we're sparing you.
So I guess, Shane, we're blowing him off when he asked if he could get an alias.
On Amazon.com, brother.
Pablo Diaz.
Another comic book.
Bendis, are we going to see a new Masters of Evil in the near future?
You are going to see evil incarnate in many, many forms. I came up with a couple of new ideas, new ways to move the toy box around over there in the Marvel Universe that may not be the form of the Masters of Evil, but at the same time would have either numbers of it or of the different incarnations or different agenda that you might appreciate, but at the same time go, oh, you know, that does have a nice old Masters of Evil feel to it. So the one thing is it's hard to wrap your head around is people referring to themselves as evil. And so evil! No one says I'm evil.
Except Dr. Evil.
Yes, exactly. So it's guys with an agenda that may be selfish and greedy and nasty, but evil? It's hard to say.
Also, what do you think of Amazing Spider-Man's new schedule? Would you be interested in working with other creators on a book that comes out 3 times a month?
I work on 2 books that come out more than monthly. And they're like, 2 books? And I say, Ultimate Spider-Man, which was bi-weekly there for a while.
Yep.
Did all by myself. Didn't need no group of guys, thank you. And I do both Avengers titles, which now that people know the Skrull situation, will seem more like a bi-weekly title as every issue connects to both titles. So I personally love doing that, but I don't know if I want to work with a group of people, as it always seems to be more work than it was if I just sat alone and wrote it myself. So I like the multi-schedule and different formats and different scheduling, but me, too selfish to type myself. I like to type myself.
3 questions about Hawkeye. Is he mm-hmm. going to be a full-time member of the new Avengers, or
yes.
his adventure in... Oh, yes? Or is his adventure in Japan with them just a one-off?
No, he's on board.
Is he...
Plus, he's, you know, he's living the Skrull world, too, so... What?
Ooh.
Huh?
Is he going to keep being Ronan for the foreseeable future? Or
That's
is he...
a very good question that I interrupted.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is he going back to using bows and arrows again? Swords and nunchucks are cool, but seeing him shoot arrows every now and then would be nice, too.
I actually came up with a new device where he can shoot nunchucks at people. So a little bit of something for everybody.
Evan the Shaggy. How the heck do you come up with Doctor Strange's spells? Not really the spells themselves, obviously, more than the words used.
That is funny, because I make them up.
All right.
There is a language they're based on that is very Latin-y, but they are made-up words, because if I came up with real spells, I might start a cult, and then I'd have to be responsible for the cult, and then there's all these people who want to sleep with me that I can't sleep with because my wife frowns upon that. It's a whole thing.
Stanley doesn't have, like, a grocery list of, like, hoary hordes of Hogarth.
No, that's all good stuff, but we've heard a lot of that stuff, and that's for certain things.
Okay.
And Hoary Host is that's his version of motherfucker.
Yeah, great Scott.
Yeah, but, or motherfucker.
Or motherfucker.
Whatever way you want to go with that. these other spells are for other things. And if it exists already, I'll use it. But if it's a new spell or something we haven't seen a lot of that hadn't had words to it, we make it up. I basically close my eyes and just type letters and see what comes up.
Do you find it difficult to write for characters who don't really tend to use dialogue that much, considering it's one of your main strengths, characters such as Black Bolt, Hulk, etc.?
I actually enjoy that immensely. It's actually what I like to do more, if that makes any sense. Maybe it's because it forces you to remove the tricks, the bag of tricks. Got to close up the bag of tricks and do something else.
What would you be doing now if you'd never become a writer?
I'd be going, throw the lotion in the basket, or whatever it is.
Puts the lotion on its skin?
Yeah.
What is your most, or would you be like at a, you know, cosmetic counter at, the May Company or something like that?
I'd be in a glory hole place. I don't know what it is, mopping up and crying myself to sleep every night. It's funny, these kind of questions get asked often, and, I was making my living as an illustrator since I was about 19.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been working freelance my whole adult life, other than my stint at the comic store, which to me felt like hamburger college for comic books. You know,
sure.
It was more like that to me than a job. So I don't know, man. You know what I mean? I just, like, sheer force of will, I just decided I'm going to make comic books for a living, and I've kind of been doing it.
Would you have been happy being an artist, a comic artist, and if, like, your writing hadn't taken off?
That's what I was shooting for, so.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, yes, but probably wouldn't, well, I definitely wouldn't have seen the success I've seen as a writer. There's just no way.
Okay.
Yeah, personally or creatively, because, who knows, maybe, but, you know what I mean? It just
sure.
Definitely feels for me that it's gone the way it's supposed to go.
What is your
it's all just creativity. I don't feel like, oh, I didn't make it as an artist. I made it, but this is my specialty, which, you know, wasn't what I thought it was going to be, but at the same time, I'm thrilled about it. Writing is more satisfying to me personally than drawing, so, like, I feel better about myself when I'm writing than I did when I was drawing full time. Who knows?
What is your most horrifying or funniest convention story?
Funniest convention story I've told on these podcasts, and I actually have drawn it, and it's in Total Sellout, and it's the story about the drunk Sergeant Kabuki man and the girl from the real world who is Amish but horny, or a Mormon, I forget what she was. So you can read that. I've done that story before, so I'm not going to do it. I just came back from Philly. You know what's funny? A girl comes up and goes, hey, will you sign my breath? And I'm like, I live in my basement and go to see Ratatouille with my kid all day. Nothing like this ever happens. Ever. So I'm not bragging. I'm telling you, this is not an everyday occurrence. She comes up, very attractive, will you sign my breath? So I'm like, yeah, and in your heart you're waiting for, like, the punchline, you know?
Sure.
She pulls it down, and there is Joe Quesada's cue. And I literally, without even thinking about what I was saying, I won't sign that one. Give me the fresh one. And to me that was sloppy Joe seconds or something.
Yeah, I understand.
But it was, and only after the whole transaction happened did I think about what I had done, and I made her pull out her other one.
Yeah, you refused to boop, man.
I refused it because Joe had been there like it was some weird thing. And
like it's the Matterhorn and his flag is already planted there.
Didn't even blink. Said, no, give me the other one. And I signed it big.
Fresh
and
boobs.
I said to Joe, I said, hey, that was amazing. I've never actually had anyone ever do that before. Have you ever had anyone do that before? And he said, not girls.
Ew.
I know.
And actually, you could see that happening at a comic convention.
Yeah.
A lot of ample boobage on the men's
Yeah,
part.
Exactly. Yeah. There's no lack of cleavage.
Thank you.
So that was fun.
Well, that was horrifying and funny. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Ever thought about making an Ultimate Kingpin mini ongoing?
I'm thrilled that that storyline is so well received with people. Like, no matter how annoying I am with Deadpool or whatever I did in that book, every time you come around with Kingpin and the Knights and Daredevil, that stuff's going really, really well. And it makes me so happy because it's so close to my heart. It's so what I like to write about. And I really do feel that we're doing stuff with that stuff that you hadn't seen before in the original Kingpin stories and all that. So I'm thrilled. So there will be more Kingpin down the road.
Cool.
But I do think it's funny because when you're in the midst of a storyline that everyone's so happy about, your instinct is, well, I'll just do this all the time. But if I did it all the time, people would just be annoyed to shit. So you got to pace it out.
And Evan may not remember, but a couple of years ago, Bruce Jones was doing an excellent Kingpin ongoing that just didn't get the support.
I didn't want that series.
No, I liked it.
I appreciated it. I'm a Bruce Jones fan.
Me too.
And I'm a huge Klaus fan.
That's right. I forgot Klaus was drawing it. Yeah,
something didn't work for me on that thing.
Do you find it weird that the comics industry is still looked upon as kiddie industry, and yet Spider-Man 3 is the number one movie? Heroes is the number one TV show, et cetera, et cetera.
It's funny. I think there's been a seismic shift, and it seemed to happen this summer. I don't know what I was reading, but something's happened where comic books are now, if anything, they're part of the movie industry, it seems, and that I'm not thrilled about that, and probably part to blame in the sense that, like, I don't, you know, turn down the relationship between the two, but there's the farming of comics, independent and mainstream, for feature, film, and television, is so connected and successful. It's the thing in Hollywood that's the most successful thing they do now. That it seems now it's been co-opted completely. So I think it's more that than it is for kids. It's now seen as just general populist entertainment. And I don't know if it's good or bad, but I don't like the co-opting of the medium because I don't see any good coming from that in 2 years' time.
Any chance of seeing any of the other characters from the Hood Limited series in the upcoming arc into Avengers?
Yes. In fact, I was doing a polish on an upcoming Hood issue just an hour ago, and there they were. John King, the cousin, big part of the story.
Any chance of making Baltimore Comic Con? We'd love to have you.
That is on my very well could do it. Not this year, but maybe next year. They've always nice enough to invite me. My wife grew up in Baltimore. She's a Baltimore person, and all you have to do is watch an episode of Homicide with her, and she goes, I was there every 2 seconds. so we have been offered, and we will get there as soon as we can. It always seems to be in a week that isn't good for us.
Rough guesstimate, how much taxpayer money does S.H.I.E.L.D. use per year to operate? Helicarrier fuel doesn't grow on trees.
Well, you're assuming that it's human money that you use.
Was it Skrull money?
Yeah, but they do use the DECA system.
Ah. So, and I know this is out there, but with Sentry on the Mighty Avengers, did you ever think that the Void should join up with the new Avengers? Kind of reinforcing that the Void does the opposite of whatever the Sentry does.
You're assuming that the new Avengers is the opposite of the Mighty Avengers, where I would say that the Void is on the Justice League. And I'm having an intercompany crossover, whether Bob Wayne likes it or not.
Kefki. Not sure if you've answered this before, but was mutant growth hormone supposed to be a variation of the kick drug that Grant Morrison came up with in his new X-Men? Because that was the first thing I immediately thought of when you first introduced it in Daredevil.
No, it was its own thing. There's a couple other things like that that have popped up over the years. But, mutant growth hormone was directly related to human growth hormone and reading the Nick Nolte story about him supposedly doing something with it, or someone doing something with it, allegedly, and reading up about it, and saying, okay, what's the Marvel version of human growth hormone? Oh, you know what I mean? Yeah,
yep.
That's it. And that's where my mind came from. No, if I was going to build on the idea that Grant had, I would have used Grant's name for it. I wouldn't shy from that.
Nick Maynard 85 asks, what do you think Torso Jinx era Bendis would say if someone had told him that someday he would be writing books like House of M and Illuminati? Boy, this is something that Brubaker, I know, always gets as well.
He'd say, phew. Seriously.
Do you have any regrets about leaving the indie comics world? Yeah. When did you leave exactly?
Yeah, I remember that there was a time where I'm like, oh, they don't want me at Ape. But it's more felt like, oh, I guess I'm not in it anymore, than felt like I said, I'm leaving and I'm not coming back. You know, Powers is still an independent comic book, and
sure.
I create that every so often. I write that all the time. And I'm doing creator own books now, so in my heart, I'm both. And back then, in my heart, I was both. I was allowed to make independent comics and just wasn't allowed to do the more mainstream work that I was dying to do. In fact, while I was working on Jinx, I was hired to do Spider-Woman by Mark Benicio, but Marvel West folded. So I was avidly pursuing it as a great passion of mine, but that's how it went. So it worked out pretty good. Now I get to do both. And also, the old me, the Jinx era me, would be thrilled that so many people who read House of M would then go by Jinx, because that is about all that sold it, is my mainstream work and Ultimate Spider-Man, people taking kindness to my work in mainstream and going to find some of the other stuff. So
sure.
On its own, it was barely selling enough to make another issue. So this worked out pretty well. So that's cake and eating it too, my friend.
Now that Marvel's going
to be... I know you're trying to slice me a little bit there, but I'm sorry. It ain't going to work. It works out good.
Now that Marvel's going to be making their own movies, is there any chance that you or your peers, specifically the ones without Hollywood credentials, will get any creative input in the movies? It only seems logical to consult you guys.
That door is open, so I can't talk about it a lot right now, but they're very good guys over there. And, you know, even... when Avi was there, you know, they called me to work on the Spider-Man show, and they called me to help on other stuff that I haven't even talked about publicly. So there's that door is more open than it might seem to be.
And your peers are getting the same kind of treatment?
Yeah.
I read somewhere recently that you said the Marvel retreats usually begin with listing the things that worked and the things that didn't work. I'd like to hear which things of yours didn't work.
Oh, no, that's why I show up to these things. I'm always on the list of things that did work. No, I've been very lucky that when they put up the slides that I'm usually on that sold well or that worked list.
Is it really like, you know, like almost like going over football films of like,
yeah, no, I mean,
okay, slide three, there it is.
Okay, we talked about this last year. We put it out. It's been out. Let's talk about what worked and what didn't work. And, you know, So like, you know, House of M did really well. So to the point where they're even going back to it. So
yeah,
that always goes up on the plot. So it's good. But you do have that fear. And I remember there was one time where the old president Guy Caro, I forget his name, but he I guess there was an issue of Ultimate Spider-Man that got rejected by Walmart or something. I don't even remember if it was Walmart or Target. I can't even remember, but something about it. Mary Jane and Peter kissed, and it wasn't even gratuitous. They just kissed, and it got rejected, and he was very upset and brought it up at the retreat. And I was like, I didn't even know what issue he was talking about, and that stopped right away. Like, it was weird. So that was the only time, and it lasted like a second, and I'm still not sure what happened. But that was the only time anything weird was said to me at the retreat. Again, that has nothing to do with my personal feelings about my work, what I think worked and what didn't work. But, you know, that's how it goes. My slideshow would be much more self-loathing and different.
What did you think?
What didn't work? My childhood, anyway.
What did you think of Fantastic Four 2?
I know it's not high art, but it is a goofy, great John Buscema Fantastic Four comic. And that's exactly what they wanted to make. It's exactly one of those. And my tone of these things has changed, and this is fatherhood. But, man, my kid loved that movie so much. I mean, loved it. And it reminded me about how the idea of Johnny and Sing, Switch and Powers, when I was a kid, was the coolest fucking thing I've ever seen in my life. Because it's the first time you've ever seen anything like that. She wouldn't stop doing the dialogue of that scene the whole rest of the day. She loved it. So I'm sitting there going, how am I going to nerd pick my, I think Elektra should be this thing, when my kid loved it completely, you know?
Sure.
It's hard to argue.
No, I understand. I have an 11-year-old nephew that feels the same way about the Fantastic Four movies, and that's why it's like, all right, it's for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, loved them.
Ignoring what you know now, Listen,
I'm more upset that about Jessica Alba's makeup in that movie than I am about anything else. Like Chinese eyes or something. It was weird.
Yeah, it was weird. And, you know,
wasn't she a scientist in the other movie?
Well, you know,
she was a scientist.
That's okay. She shouldn't even try and stretch because...
Well, I actually kind of appreciated that. That's like Denise Richards was the biochemist in the Bond movie.
That's exactly what I was thinking. It's like the less dialogue, the better. Just look
and
pretty.
And also, I always have that weird thing, like, I just caught up in The Shield, like, the day before.
Uh-huh.
I went to see Fantastic Four. And so, I just, like, just let Michael Chiklis be the whole movie.
That I can understand. Although, the Disneyfication of the thing really bothered me. That burp joke, which, again, was for the kids, but I'm like, come on, man.
That burp joke was in a Fantastic Four comic that we all loved as kids. All
right.
That's my argument.
All right.
That's what I'm saying. Everything in that movie was in a comic book that we loved when we were kids.
Yeah, I understand. And I think...
And you got to let kids have that feeling that we had.
The effects were great, and they got the Surfer right, so that was cool.
Yeah, the Surfer was cool.
Ignoring what you know now, if you had been offered Detective Comics at the same time as Marvel Knights, Daredevil, for the same amount of money, which would you have picked? Hypothetically, let's say you would have worked with Alex Maleev either way.
Oh, that's interesting. I would have picked Daredevil. I like Daredevil more than I like Batman. It's a scarier proposition to write Daredevil. Alex would have left to do Batman.
Did your reaction to any of the Spider-Man movies influence any stories in the comics?
I'm trying to think, honestly. No, I always kind of liked them because my job as a Spider-Man comic writer, other than the other Spider-Man comic writers, is very similar to the movies, which is doing the modern take of these stories.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of, it's almost like my assignment in scene is similar to that of the guys who make the movies. So I always watch the movies with that, it's like watching a guy play the same song and seeing what choices he made, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And appreciating it. So I look at it that way and analyze it that way more than I even do. Like, I can't even, like, enjoy the movie because I'm so just analyzing, like, their choices versus our choices. So, and then after, like, three times I can sit and just enjoy the movie.
There's a question on the Jinx World Frequently Asked Questions that mentions fans of the TV show Sliders accusing you of making Ultimate Spider-Man an homage to Sliders.
Yeah.
Do you remember what the deal with this is?
No, but I've never seen Sliders. Like, I've never even seen a commercial for it. Because I don't know what the scientific term is, but I break out in itchy hives when I see Jerry O'Connell. So I've never seen the show. I was almost hospitalized when I saw Jerry Maguire, so that was the last time I've ever had any Jerry O'Connell experience. So I've never seen Sliders.
Yet Will Wheaton, I think, provides a calming effect on you, doesn't he?
Yes, that's true.
Okay.
That was personal, not for air, thank you.
Oh.
And so I've actually never seen Sliders. I'm not exactly sure what the reference is into, but it was annoying to a lot of people. I think it was like one dude who kept bringing it up. And it was breaking my people board apart. So,
I just got into Powers pretty much recently and love
it.
Was the crazy space god cosmic stuff always part of the plan, or did that develop over time?
Part of the plan after the first year of the book, I'd say.
Huh. What do you think of John Hodgman?
He is fantastic, and he did the best performance on The Daily Show last week that he's ever done.
I saw. He's great.
Did you see it?
Yes, I did.
Hilarious.
He's the man.
So So I have his book on tape, and it's not as funny as his Daily Show stuff, but it's a little too clever for clever. But he did a great issue of Wired magazine, which I liked a lot too. If you get a chance, check it out. It's like his book.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Tom Burgos.
God, I didn't think I was going to have an answer to that, but I did. I'm guessing that Tom Burgos has a lot of Spider-Woman questions.
He does indeed. Okay. Will Spider-Woman be released before or after the Icon Bendis Maliv project that has been announced?
Probably around the same time.
I remember you mentioned that Echo and Natasha Romanoff were both in the cards regarding the Spider-Woman comic. Has that changed at all, or will they still be in the book at some point?
It has not changed.
The White Tiger Mini was absolutely kick-ass and solid, but sadly it flopped as far as sales are concerned. Any plan to use her anywhere? Whether
Did
it's
it
new
flop? I don't even know.
Well, I guess it's not continuing. Whether it's New Avengers, Mighty Avengers, or what I think would be the greatest Spider-Woman? Too good of a character.
I am a big fan of our White Tiger. I wouldn't be surprised if she shows up somewhere. I didn't read the whole mini series. I was a little put off by the author's constant attacking of my friends in her attempt to get attention for herself as an author. I kind of get turned off by that, by a lot of people, actually. So I didn't finish the series. I will before I get back into the character, see what she did.
Will we see Daisy Johnson quake again?
Yes.
I'd just like to see her quake, actually.
Hey,
now. Moon Knight
So she's going to have a different haircut from Maria Hill.
Moon Knight Spider-Woman, please. You know you want it.
No, I think he's projecting a little bit, but okay. I'm not exactly sure what he wants there, too.
She-Hulk certainly fits with the Mighty and Mighty Avengers. Any plans to use her in any of your books?
Not now. Yeah, my voice got a little too high in that. I
enjoyed that.
No.
Hydra isn't done with Jessica Drew, I'm sure. Will Jessica have to destroy more Hydra compounds in the future? I love the several times you had her do it in Origin and New Avengers.
She's only done it twice, but I enjoyed both of those, but thank you.
Morgan Le Fay and Dr. Doom, you recently talked about them hooking up or something. Will Jessica Drew have brand new villains created by Jessica Drew?
Issue 9 of Mighty Avengers, Morgana Le Fay.
Say that again?
Issue 9 of Mighty Avengers, Morgana Le Fay.
Very cool.
It's a painted segment. Painted by Marco.
Oh, cool.
I'm going to call Marco, like we're best friends, and I've never met him, because I can't pronounce his last name to save my life. It's just Rick of Gabriel. The guy with all the kick-ass covers, that isn't Gabriel, though.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. So, I don't know, I mean, so far off, one of them crazy.
And will Jessica Drew have brand new villains created by you just for her solo stories?
Yes. It's called The Burgess.
The Burgess.
The Burgess. I'm naming it after you, buddy.
Thank you. Will Taskmaster come back into Jessica Drew's life? She really put the hurting on him back in Origin. It would be awesome to see him wanting payback.
Yes. There will be connections to Origin in the ongoing.
Very cool. Homer Gator.
Homer Gator.
Hey, Brian and John. Hope everything's well with you guys. Got a question or two for you. Would you ever be interested in writing some Max Punisher? I don't want Garth Ennis to ever leave that book, but I do think a one-shot or something would be really kick-ass.
I like writing the Punisher. I don't have any Max Punisher plans, but that is Garth's territory for this foreseeable future. But the Punisher's always around the corner somewhere.
Is there any reason Clint Barton can't be Hawkeye? I know Kate Bishop is using the name, but so what? Clinton as Ronan just doesn't feel right to me. That said, New Avengers has been great lately. I hope the pairing of yourself and Lanil Yu lasts as long as you and Mark did on Ultimate Spider-Man.
I do hope that, too. I was actually going over his work on issue 33 and just very, very happy with him. He just does amazing Jessica Jones. You know what? This is a new chapter in Clint's life. There isn't a reason he can't be Hawkeye, but he doesn't want to be Hawkeye. Hawkeye did die. Not just metaphorically. So it's a new chapter in his life, and he's going to figure it out this year.
Any chance we'll see Ares versus Hercules anytime soon, or Ares versus Thor, or Beta Ray Bill, please?
I think you might see all of that.
Wow.
Late next year.
A question for both of you. Were either of you Calvin and Hobbes fans?
I was a huge Calvin and Hobbes fan.
Me too.
Treasury in my house.
Me too. Great, great series, great ending.
Yes. And he taught the lesson, because I was a cartoonist for many years. He followed in the tradition of Peanuts, where it wasn't just don't illustrate a joke, actually draw it funny. And I actually think that goes into superhero comics as well. Don't just draw the story, If it's dramatic, draw it dramatic. If it's funny, draw it funny.
And I love the fact that he's, like, maintained his thought of, nope, done with the series, don't need to talk to anybody ever again.
Yeah, well, he's also got crazy-ass money.
That's true.
He can stay on that high horse all day.
It's time for the Schweitz $9.99.
I think he just posted it for you and Fox.
What was your take on Spidey 3?
Here comes my cryptic answer of the day. You'll find out soon. What on earth could that mean?
Do you still plan on being on Ultimate Spider-Man for a while?
Absolutely.
Are you working with John Romita Jr. soon?
I redid my list of things to do in Ultimate Spider-Man. It is a laundry list. It's long.
All the arcs?
Yeah, this shit I jotted down 4 years ago, I completely forgot about, and then I went, oh, yeah, it's a great idea.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for Principal Suntress's night out with, like, I don't know, the hot teacher.
No, he's getting ousted for touching kids.
Outstanding.
Yeah, I think he laughed a little too hard at
no,
that. But anyway.
Put him through the grinder.
I opened up my like an old file, and I went, Mysterio! I had a whole take of Mysterio. I never even got to it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Are you working with John Romita Jr. soon?
I'm not soon, but I will eventually. I'm a huge fan of the John Romita Jr. Claus Jansen team. I would like to take that for a spin one day. My buddy Mark had a huge success with him on Wolverine, and I really was in awe of those pages.
Oh, yeah.
They're even better in black and white. I wish they just released in black and white.
He's kicking ass now on World War Hulk.
He absolutely is, and you'll see Claus is there, too.
I've heard you or some other people talk about an omnibus for your Daredevil run.
Yeah, only me is who you're
talking. Is that looking possible, or should I stop wishing?
The problem, as it's been explained to me, is that the Daredevil hardcovers and trades that me and Alex did continue to sell at a healthy pace. And omnibuses are for when the value of whatever that library is kind of settled or doesn't really have anything printed right now. Mm-hmm. Like you look at the Fantastic Four one they just put out. Really, that's right now the place to get those books. Those masterworks are out of print, and that's the way to get them. So it's going to be a while because they're still doing well on their own.
Why were you...
Now I'm bothering David Gabriel to put out a collection of all the one-shots that me and Alex have done over the last couple of years, like Confession and the Illuminati special and Avengers 26 and a couple of the Daredevil pieces.
That's cool. Why weren't any of your Avengers books tied into World War Hulk? I know so far we've only had one issue, but it seems like a big thing that both teams would be involved in.
I chose to focus my attention elsewhere. I don't think every event needs me and Mark's fingerprints all over it, and I thought this was, you know, Greg's baby, top to bottom, and let Greg and Mark and Ishii really do their thing, and not have to split the Avengers story with me. Like, I think it's a really cool Avengers story, but I thought instead of splitting it up, just let him do it, you know?
Sure, because the Avengers will be involved.
Let him do it. And focus my attention on this thing that I'm finally getting to birth after, you know, waiting patiently for a few years.
Sure. And the Avengers are involved, it's just you're not writing it.
Yeah, no, they are, and it's going to be good, and there will be reflection of what happened to those characters in my book at the appropriate time.
What book at Marvel that isn't one of their flagship titles would you like to work on?
I am working on the books that I want to work on right now. So it's weird. I don't think about it that much. One day I would love to do, like, Spider-Woman I want to do. I'm dying to do it right now, but I have to wait a little bit. But and Nick Fury, I want to do some Nick Fury one day.
Okay. I remember you saying a few years back that House of M was probably going to be the biggest comic you will ever write. With this new Skrull Invasion story, is that still the case?
Nope. I spoke too soon. I couldn't imagine, when you're in the thick of creating it, you can't imagine writing anything bigger. And then you did it, and you go, oh, let's back up here. Let me see how about two ongoing monthlies and an event and everybody, and, you know, so, and a year of build up, you know, you get excited about the craft of it and can you do it, and in this instance, there's been so much prep time that it's a breeze. It's a lot of fun. It's very well constructed in the planning stage.
And then he asks if you are going to be able to go to the New York Comic Con next year. What about the Boston one instead? That would really be convenient for me.
Well, how about I just show up and have dinner with you?
There you go.
That would be more convenient for me. Is that okay?
Dining with the Schweitz.
Dining with the Schweitz. All right, guys. I bet we have some kreplach. Anyway, I don't know what I'm doing next year. There will be some announcements later in the summer that defy my expectation of what life could be. So I don't know how many appearances I'm going to be able to make after San Diego. I'm going to have to stay home and work.
Servo 106. Bendis, will this super secret upcoming Skrull event tie into events in Runaways or Young Avengers?
Yes.
Any word on another?
And I just talked to Alan Heinberg 2 nights ago.
Happy birthday to Alan Heinberg.
Yeah, he's a good dude. Man.
He's a great dude. I'll be talking to him in September. Any word on another Bendis and who's N?
A Barnes & Noble.
Oh, Barnes & Noble Mega. And I'm like, I figured it was Bendis and somebody else. But a Barnes & Noble Mega Ultimate
it's
Spider-Man
Bendis
hardcover.
It's Nokia. At Nokia.
Sure.
Okay.
Are you gonna do another Ultimate Spider-Man hardcover through Barnes & Noble?
Well, I that's way out of my hands. I know the first one did really well and did a few printings. And we just got up to that place where now there's enough issues to do another one.
Okay.
So, but I don't know if that publishing deal is still in existence. So you got to have enough issues to put out, and they come out after a certain amount of time. But I'll tell you, instead, what I'm really in love with is they put out a trade paperback of the hardcovers, these Ultimate collections, that are really nice and they're good value, and I'm really, really happy about them.
Nice.
Because that work is 7 years old and it's still bringing in royalties. No, I really actually am thrilled with these. They just did one for Ultimate Team-Up, and they did one for the first year of Ultimate Spider-Man.
Oh, that's cool.
And they're very sharp.
Thanks for the Fell recommendation. Got the first trade, and it was fucking amazing.
Awesome.
You're here.
Good.
The Sentient Xbox. I've never had more fun reading comics in my entire life, and I have you and the awesome talent currently at Marvel to thank for that, so thanks.
Thank you, man.
Just a few questions. What fictional character, regardless of medium, would you most like for Marvel to get the rights to?
Regardless of medium. Oh, that's a good one.
Fibber McGee and Molly. No.
Buckaroo Banzai.
Really?
Yeah.
Moonstone has that right now. Have you ever had to work with an artist on a project that you really felt was wrong for the job?
No. And that's why I signed with Marvel. I've never been put in that position. So it's always been, you know, are you guys a good team or comfortable? Because what you want is you want both of us to feel excited, and you want good work out of us, so thrusting people together on to work together is not a good idea. Not that it always worked out that way, but at the time when it signed on, yeah, I felt really good about it.
With the massive changes made to the E3 show this year, it got me thinking about what changes could be made that would benefit the various comic conventions you attend. Any thoughts on what can improve these shows? Hardcore
I don't know,
nudity.
I do think about that sometimes. I don't know. I always wish there was some way to make Artist Alley more appealing to people, but there is something cool, grassrootsy, kind of, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I love Artist Alley.
But I wish the Artist Alley was the focus of the convention and not the companies. I don't know why even. I just wish it was up front. It always feels like it's back of the room. It's like how the movie studios treat screenwriters. It's like an afterthought. I think, you know what I mean? It was just nice as the Artist Alley looked like it was the real reason why I'm here.
No, I understand, but I do think that the smart conventioners know to go to Artist Alley, and they have a great time.
No, they do. People made their own decision. I'm just saying I wish it was reflected in the floor plan.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
Are there any other video game franchises in particular you would jump at the chance to write comics for? Would you love your take on the Metal Gear characters? Or he would love to see your take on the
I've
Metal
never
Gear
played
characters.
Metal Gear. City Heroes would have been fun. Gears of War, not so much, because I get torque-bowed a lot, and I don't appreciate it. Halo really is. I'm thinking in my head, that's why I'm talking slowly.
Mm-hmm.
Halo really is like the King Kong of it. I guess Grand Theft Auto would be cool, but I don't know if that would reflect. You know, I don't know if it needs an adaptation. You know, like Halo, because of the point of view of the character, there's a lot more story that can be told.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, Grand Theft Auto, the character's more involved in the story. That it's very singular. The story is about that person. So, I think Halo is really the King Kong thing.
Okay, here's two good film
questions. Geometry Wars. I would like to do a long miniseries about Geometry Wars. Thank you.
Best performance in an otherwise crappy film?
Best performance? It's probably Alec Baldwin. Right?
Okay.
Got to be Alec Baldwin, and I can't think of a film.
Because I liked Outside Providence, and I wouldn't call that a great film, but I think
he's always great in it. I got to say, I just watched the first 45 minutes of Lady in the Water.
And?
And I couldn't believe how bad it was. I really thought that people were just bashing him because it was his turn. Like, yeah, everyone does it, but I couldn't believe it. And I really just turned it off sad. It made me sad. And I'm a huge fan of his, but Paul Giamatti ain't bad in the movie. You know?
I agree with that.
Yeah, he's doing a very good job, unless in the second half, I don't know what happens, but the first half, he was very good.
No, I think his character stays consistent.
But I just saw Live Free and Die Hard, and Bruce Willis is fantastic in this movie. This is a phenomenally bad movie, I mean, in the best way.
Is it better than 3?
It is better. It's a fantastic action film. I'm talking about there's those bad movies that are just phenomenal, really well done,
mm-hmm.
and ones that you make you want to hit people with hammers. And this was a great time at the movie.
Okay.
And there's a scene in the movie where he's driving this ridiculously gigantic truck down this spiraling highway situation while the plane from Stealth is shooting at him.
Okay.
And he blows up the truck, and he lands on the plane, and the plane blows up, and he lands on the highway. The highway completely collapses. He gets out of there with a scratch on the bald head. You look at this him walking out of there covered in blood, and $1 million of production design, of rubble and planes and burning, and he just goes, whew! And that's it, and it's the greatest performance you ever saw. Fantastic.
How about the worst performance in an otherwise great film?
It's not a great film, but the worst performance in what's perceived to be a great film is Billy Zane in Titanic.
That's what I was thinking too,
There's no, and I'm not, I'm stealing this from, probably William Goldman, but there's never been a film that successful with something that shitty in the middle of it. And it ruined him. I mean, that's the biggest film in the world. He never worked again, really.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, not
other anything. Than Salman King, you know, movies and things
yeah,
like
exactly.
that.
Yeah, exactly. But boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Yeah, that's a good one. I was going to say, too, Sofia Coppola in Godfather 3.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's a great film either.
She's vindicated herself.
Yes, she has as a filmmaker, yeah. Sure.
So she gets points. I'm sure there's other ones, too, but Billy Zane really does stick out.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know.
Chris Page, little fancy pants. I'm sure you've been asked this before, but I'm too lazy to look and listen. Is there any chance of revisiting the Jinx Goldfish universe in comic book form, like at Icon or something?
That is offered to me a great many times from a great many people, and I almost bit after I finished the Jinx screenplay because, you know, you're kind of in it again.
Sure.
I just don't think that needs to be done. As it was, but the book I'm going to do with Alex is certainly in the vein of those books.
Okay.
Whether I will choose to Jinx universe it or not, I don't know. I don't know why everything in comics has to have its own universe. I don't know. If I can't see an upside, I won't do it. If there's a cool thing to do, I will.
Wizard World Chicago this year, maybe? Please?
No, can't do it. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that'll be Mark's show. Mark's going to have a lot of fun at that show.
That's cool.
Yeah.
No,
I blew my wad at Philly. I really did. And I kind of went in there knowing I was going to blow my wad.
They had paper towels. It's okay.
Yeah.
Coffee crisps, crack in a wrapper, or disgusting Canadian junk food?
Yeah, disgusting Canadian junk food, and I'm speaking of real authority here.
Mm. With you writing the Halo comics now, I'm curious. Have you given any thought to working on other genres within the comic medium? You could do noir and superheroes like nobody's business, and I'd love to see what you could do with another genre like westerns or fantasy.
Well, I do a lot of sci-fi more than people might guess. In the context of superheroes, there's a genuine amount of science fiction.
Especially the Illuminati of late.
Illuminati and other things that were going on. But Halo is very hardcore sci-fi. So I am working on that. And I've done autobiographical and, you know, more, you know, romantic
yes.
and dramatic stuff. So yeah, there is stuff in there. So yeah, it comes out when it hits.
Do you have a flat out Western? I know you have crime stories that I think you've borrowed Western ideas and themes and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I've borrowed heavily from Sergio Leone
sure.
in many, many, many things over the years, including Jinx, where I stole the whole plot of For the Bad Ugly. Oh, I mean,
sure.
homage. But, so yeah, I mean, I do love the genre, and I think one of the best movies I saw last year was The Proposition, which if you haven't seen it, St. Guy Pierce. Please go find it. It's
yeah, you were talking about that before. I still haven't seen it. I gotta
see it. Written by the glorious Nick Cave.
Very cool. Current favorite junk food?
Current favorite junk food. I'm going to disappoint people here, but I've completely kicked Coca-Cola and a lot of stuff in my life. I think it had something to do with that Marvel TV video of me in the yellow shirt.
Looking nice.
Little puppy. But I think we've rediscovered, the entire household has rediscovered Baskin Robbins pralines and cream.
Oh dear!
And we have a Ben and Jerry's like literally an eyesight from my house. So there's been a lot of Ben and Jerry's in our life, but we rediscovered our Baskin Robbins.
Have you had a chance to play the Wii yet? It's surprisingly fun.
No, I haven't. I really have not even picked up a Wii stick. And no, I'm not talking dirty to you, son.
Did you find that going to art school helped your art? yeah, and I know you've covered this ground before, but feel free.
Yeah, I know. I went to Cleveland Institute of Art for 5 years, jacked up a $60,000 tuition bill, and now I write for a living. but it is paid off, so which I never thought would happen. And then through the student loans, it never got paid off. So I guess it worked out. No, I'm thrilled I went to art school for numerous things. It did teach me an amazing amount of life lessons and creative lessons that I take with me on my day. Some of them were lessons that may not have been what they were teaching, but what I was observing from other people and other teachers. So whatever you got to do to learn, whatever you got to learn, you know?
Has your daughter gotten into comics yet?
Not comics, but she has her father's ability to sit for hours on end and draw and paint.
Oh, that's cool.
Very quietly. She's got a little art desk right next to my desk right here, and she sits, and hilarious.
That's nice.
But listen, I hate when people do this, but I'm going to do it anyhow, because in this context, I think it's funny. We were sitting down here, she was painting her little Ratatouille paintings, and Superman Returns was on TV. It was just on. She'd never seen Superman before in her life. She sees the Superman saving the plane sequence, which, regardless of what you think of the movie as a whole, it's inarguable that as one of the greatest scenes for a superhero movie ever.
I agree.
Phenomenal. She then turns to me and says, Daddy, Superman is much better than Spider-Man, and I'll tell you why. Look at what he just did, and all Spider-Man does is shoot webs and go, eh! And I just stared at her, trying not to laugh, and she's trying not to laugh in your children's face because it can be damaging psychologically. But at the same time, I'm like, okay, are you fucking with me? Seriously? Are you fucking with me? So, you know, but you can't say that either.
And I
said, no, honey, Spider-Man is much cooler. She goes, no, Daddy, he's really not, and you should know that. And went back to painting.
Wow. Yikes. Little Bendis has spoken.
And I said, hey, you don't see Superman getting those clothes for you?
Spider-Man pays the bills for your art things.
Yeah, Superman didn't buy a little tricycle, did he?
Oh, dear.
Yeah, it was pretty hilarious.
Well, and once again, he wants to thank us for doing this, and also he thanks you for having the message board for a place for all of us to hang out.
Well, thank you. I think the message board has been awesome of late. There's been very few reported posts, and it's been a very friendly place.
That's
except
cool.
When people are arguing about the box office Ratatouille.
Hey, Prime, Are there aspects of Jessica Jones' powers we don't know about yet?
Yes.
In Alias, Bagley drew Jewel.
She can shapeshift.
Can she really?
Yes,
Bagley drew Jewel a couple times with glowing fists. Is that powder for powers, or is that just Bagley taking liberties?
No, that was in the script.
Purple Man also mentioned secrets only he and Jessica knows about. What's that about? Does she have some sort of metafictional awareness, like certain Marvel characters, like you gave Purple Man, or is that just crazy talk?
First of all, he is full of crazy talk, but you know, he was in her head, man. He, you know, he knows stuff about her that has not been seen yet.
Is the Alter Ego TV show still happening?
No, I don't think it is.
What is the Alter Ego TV show?
Alter Ego is the Alias TV show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the Alias pilot, we had to change the name because Alias was a TV show that was on the air.
I've heard of it.
So the original title of Alias before it was published was going to be Alter Ego. That was the original title of the book.
I see.
But we changed it in respect to Roy Thomas's magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And so for television, it was a perfectly good title. So that was the title of the show. No, you know, I wrote it. Michael Green, who now works on Heroes, good guy. He jumped in as producer and he did a polish or a draft and then it just kind of went away. They didn't get it. So
that's too bad.
That's that. No, it's okay. No pain. No problem. No shitty television show on the air by accident. You know.
That's true.
Yeah.
Ultimate Alpha Flight featuring MJ Goblin and a Sasquatch. Possible.
She's Dima Goblin, you bastard.
And you've already answered this. What's in store for the new White Tiger?
Yeah. Me finishing the miniseries one day.
MDog 922.
Yeah.
Number one, what are you reading from DC? Justice Society of America is awesome.
I am behind on my Justice Society, but I am buying it. Justice League I'm reading. I'm reading Detective, which I'm enjoying the one-off.
Yeah, Danny's doing a great job.
Buying a lot of collections. Very disappointed in the Jack Kirby omnibus. Paper stock is shitty, and I was very annoyed by it. I was, seriously.
I hear you.
They should have that material should have been given the class A. You know what I mean?
Yes.
The primo stuff. So, and I'm buying almost all the Absolute editions that come out. I think they're fantastic.
Speaking of DC books, you read Gotham Central when it was coming out, right?
Yes.
Have you watched The Wire yet? Season 4 of The Wire has been the best season of any.
Not yet.
It's
amazing.
But I
did see Reno 911 Miami the second I got it home. So.
How is it?
It's stupid.
Well,
I just think all these great movies I have that I haven't unwrapped yet, and I threw this right in. I had to watch it right away.
Good, stupid, or?
I haven't unwrapped my Double Life of Veronique special Cartoon edition, but this one I threw right in.
Good, stupid, or crappy, stupid?
I liked it. I'm a big, big fan of movies based on failed TV shows. or cult TV shows.
Okay.
Like, there's no better movie to me in the world than the Kids in the Hall movie.
Brain Candy, hell yeah.
No one's seen but me. And I can't wait for the Simpsons movie. I think the trailer was hilarious.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, too. No, I love Brain Candy.
I didn't particularly like the X-Files TV show. Loved the movie.
I'm an aspiring writer, and I'd like to someday get into writing comics. No, I'm not asking for a job yet, but are there any books on comic writing you'd recommend?
And I would also recommend there's an outstanding thread on the message board about comic writing questions answered by luminaries of all different walks of life jumping in to express their opinions that we're going to kind of edit down and maybe throw up on Wizard as one of my columns. Thank you, Ben Simpson. And so there's tons of blogs and things to read and write about. The best thing I think you could read is the various script books that are available. Greg Rucka has an outstanding one for Queen and Country.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very happy with the Powers and Ultimate Spider-Man. The ones that we put out, we'll put out specifically for guys like you looking. Because the best way to learn how to write a script is to read scripts. Warren Ellis has put out stuff, and there's a couple of collections from other people out. You definitely check them out. I think you have to, really.
At this moment right now, as me, John, is reading this question to you, what issues of New Avengers, Mighty Avengers, Powers, and Ultimate Spider-Man are you working on?
Very good question. I am on New Avengers 39.
Okay.
I'm on Mighty Avengers 11. I'm on Powers 9, but yeah, there's also an annual in there too. So, and also with Spider-Man, I'm on 120.
All right. Is Mark Andreyko coming back to Marvel anytime soon? I love Marvel.
I hear things. And anytime I mention him on these podcasts, I get a phone call, so I'm not going to say anything, but I think you'll be happy. I hear things. I love Manhunter, too.
Yeah, me too. Was the Skrull invasion always what you had in mind ever since you wrote issue number one of New Avengers?
Yes. Yeah, it's page 2. It's right there.
What is your favorite rap group?
My favorite rap group is the Beastie Boys.
I asked you a while back what your favorite Warren Ellis work was, and you said Global Frequency. After rereading Global Frequency, I noticed how much each issue was not only drawn by a different artist to suit their taste, but each issue was a done-in-one, as they call it nowadays. Your run on New Avengers seemed to follow a similar pattern to the Global Frequency formula, but instead of single issues, each arc was drawn by a different artist. Whether it was a conscious decision or not on your part, who knows? Anyway, to finish a very long question, will we see you doing something like this ever again?
Well, I will blow your mind and let you know that prior to Global Frequency, I did such a thing on Ultimate Team-Up. And that was the point of Ultimate Team-Up, was to work with different artists in every issue or every little arc, be as it were. So I'm a fan of that. And I stole the idea from Marvel Fanfare, which was the greatest series Marvel ever produced.
Yep.
So, which you should go look at. And they should put out a omnibus on.
Hear, hear.
And you guys should bother David Gabriel about that, because I'd rather have that than the Daredevil omnibus. And so I'm just a big fan of that done well. So yeah. And as far as New Avengers goes, that is doing something hopefully above the board, above the line of what you would expect from a book like us, because knowing that the amount of drawing and the level of craft that's expected from the book, that kind of the gauntlet thrown down by David Finch, you know you can only really get one or two outstanding arcs out of someone before they flip out from ninja-itis. So every arc is written specifically for that artist. I never write anything unless I know it's going to draw it. So I'm just a big believer in that, theoretically and thematically.
And now he'd like to do a round-robin thing. He's going to name a comic book character or property, and you name an artist you'd like to draw it for you. If it's a character you don't have that much affection for, you can pass, but it'd be fun if you name an artist you'd want to draw that character anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Black Panther.
Jack Kirby.
Blade.
Pass.
Superman.
Superman. Frank Cho.
Well, that's interesting.
Well, I think there's just as hot a guy, but people don't like to go there in their heads.
Flash, which one? I don't know.
I don't even know which one's alive. Who knows?
Wally's back. Wolverine.
Wolverine. Oh, Lanil Yu. I think he does the best Wolverine on the planet.
The JLA.
JLA? JLA. I would do JLA with... Oh, McNiven.
Okay.
Or Jimmy Sun.
I'd like to see that.
Yes, I would too. But you wouldn't see that often.
Batman.
Batman, Alex Maleev.
The Question.
Alex Maleev or Lanil.
That'd be cool, either one.
Yeah, yeah.
The Defenders.
The Defenders. Milo Manara.
Okay. X-Men.
X-Men. Who's the guy who does mini Marvels? Chris Diacharo with gigantic arms. Can't remember his name.
I don't know.
That guy. you ever meet that guy?
No.
Huge. It's like he's like fucking the guy who played Sabretooth in the X-Men movie. He's gigantic. He arm wrestled like Oming. It was awful. Hard to watch.
Was that after Oming beat Mac?
Did you see that video?
I did.
Killer video.
Very nice.
YouTube, you guys gotta see it.
I was very jealous that I couldn't be there.
Yeah, it was a great moment. That worked out a lot better than it was in my head. Like, that could have gone either way. It could have easily been people staring at us going, okay, what are they doing now?
And we'll pause there for part one of the Bendis tapes, but don't worry, plenty more to come. We've barely scratched the surface. Hours of conversation left, and yes, I do mean hours of conversation left with Brian Michael Bendis. We've still got a lot of ground to cover.
plenty of time. It's summertime. Enjoy it with us on future editions of the Bendis Tapes. This episode of Word Balloon is sponsored by InStock Trades at InStockTrades.com. InStock Trades offers a huge selection of trade paperbacks, hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more, all at up to 35% off with orders over $50 receiving free shipping. And don't forget to visit InStock Trades' sister site, Discount Comic Book Service, at DCBService.com for all your pre-order needs. Major publishers are 40% off and monthly specials are 45 to 75% off every month. Visit InStock Trades at InStockTrades.com and Discount Comic Book Service at DCBService.com. Thanks so much for listening. This is John Suntress. Don't forget, Word Balloon is all over the internet. We're at Newsarama.com. We're at iTunes. Make sure you come and subscribe to our RSS feed and leave us a review at iTunes. That'd be fantastic. Also, Podcast Alley, Podcast Pickle, Odeo, all the various podcatcher sites. We're at MySpace, at MySpace.com/WordBalloon, at ComicSpace.com/WordBalloon. If you need to contact me, feel free. My email, john@wordballoon.com. Always happy to hear from you. Thanks so much for listening. Make sure you come back for the next edition of the Bendis Tapes. Word Balloon is a copyright feature of Shaky Productions, copyright 2007. All rights reserved.